Serial killers have existed since the beginning of humankind, except we did not call them that. Before civilization, humans were an animalistic, murderous, cannibalistic species, driven by a set of instinctual behaviors necessary to survival for hundreds of thousands of years, perhaps for as long as over a million years, depending on how one defines a human. There were at least two distinct species of humans cohabiting the European continent as late as 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens and Neanderthals, Homo neanderthalensis. Then, in a short span of 5,000 years, the Neanderthals suddenly vanished, most likely in a genocidal war of extermination and conquest waged by Homo sapiens, in which we wantonly slaughtered the Neanderthal males and raped their women. One explanation for our success in the slaughter is that Homo sapiens developed inhibitions against aggression toward members of our own species, while the Neanderthals did not. There is archaeological evidence that Neanderthals killed one another and cannibalized one another at a higher rate than Homo sapiens did. And in the war between the two species, that gave us the advantage, despite the fact that Neanderthals were physically more powerful and as capable as we were in fashioning stone tools and weapons. One scholar, the biblical historian Robert Eisler, argued that humans were at one time a docile, vegetarian species, but that the onset of the last ice age reduced the availability of edible vegetation in northern regions, and that humans became carnivores out of necessity. At some point, even animal prey became scarce, and northern humans clad in animal furs migrated south, attacking, killing, raping, and cannibalizing more gentle vegetarian humans dwelling in the temperate climates. In his 1951 book, Man into Wolf, An Anthropological Interpretation of Sadism, Masochism, and Lycanthropy, Eisler argued that this was both the origin of our werewolf myths and the behavioral roots of modern serial killers. In fact, it is in Eisler's book that the term serial murder makes one of its earliest appearances in the English language. For over a million years, we were hardwired with a set of reptilian instincts essential to the survival of any species, the 4F evolutionary complex, an unencumbered capacity to fight or flee, feed, and fuck. We were all psychopaths because we had to be. But there is evidence that at the height of our slaughter of the Neanderthals some 40,000 years ago, before we could turn all that aggression on ourselves, we developed an instinctual fear of our own dead, necrophobia. This fear, which was directed particularly toward those closest to us, was a fear that if they were not treated well by us in life, they would rise up from their graves after death and take revenge against us. The evidence is in so-called prehistoric deviant burials, or vampire graves, uncovered by archaeologists, in which the body was somehow disabled, secured, pinned, or mutilated to prevent it from rising from the dead. The argument is that necrophobia required us to care for the elderly, the sick, and the weak, rather than abandon them as most species tend to do, which required a degree of social organization and order, a key to future civilizations. Then, with the emergence of agriculture some 15,000 years ago, we became enclosed by civilization, and unbridled killing, rape, and cannibalism were condemned by newly emergent religious tenets and by secular laws to enforce the instinctual necrophobic prerogative. To ensure an ordered society, humans began to develop social inhibitions against those behaviors. But those inhibitions were artificial. 15,000 years of civilization are hardly enough to extinguish 500,000 years of deeply seated murderous instinct in an animal as free-thinking and evolved as a human. Indeed, there is no species of human less necrophobic than a serial killer. They not only routinely handle and manipulate corpses with no fear or disgust, but can even go into the opposite of necrophobia, necrophilia, a sexual predilection for a corpse. The subject is so taboo that often it is understated in news reporting and true crime accounts. We forget that notorious serial killers like Jack the Ripper, Ted Bundy, and Gary Ridgway were primarily necrophiliacs. Its exact frequency in serial murder cases remains somewhat controversial to this day. On the high end, the sexual homicide study by the FBI in the 1980s concluded that a sexual act was committed after a victim's death in 42% of the 92 victims they studied. In one case, for example, the perpetrator had ejaculated into the knife wound he had made in the victim. On the low end, the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit concluded in 2014 that post-mortem sexual activity was present in 11.2% of the 329 cases of sexual serial murder perpetrated by a sample of 64 offenders. And even in non-serial murder cases, opportunistic acts of necrophilia with a still warm corpse have been reported often enough. It is so taboo that even many serial killers who freely admit and describe their acts of torture, rape, mutilation, and cannibalism will hesitate at admitting acts of necrophilia, thus the wide-ranging statistics of its prevalence. Today, we have all sorts of scientific, sociological, and psychological terms to describe people with faulty inhibitions on primitive instincts. From simple criminality to more complex notions of psychopathy, sociopathy, and antisocial personality disorder. Until very recently, however, we used to describe humans without inhibitions on these instincts as monsters.